It's the price of fame without actually becoming famous. We talk with Matteo Garrone about reality on this episode of Mighty Movie Podcast. Hey, I'm Dan Persons. Welcome to MMP, coming to you courtesy of the Chronic Rift Network. Matteo Garrone previously directed the hardcore Italian crime film Gomorra and has now moved on to comedy with this new release, Reality. There's some connection between the two in attitude, but also in other ways, not the least regarding Reality's star Agnello Arena, but we'll go into detail about that in the interview. Arena plays Luciano, a fishmonger in a small village near Naples. Something of a cut-up. He likes dressing up in outlandish get-ups during family celebrations. He's energetic and outgoing in the marketplace. But when his family goads him into auditioning for the Italian version of Big Brother, an ambition gets ignited in him that gradually leads from determination to outright delusion, and that might destroy his life despite the best efforts of family and friends. So I got to sit down with Matteo Garrone to talk about the film. A minor technical note about the interview. Matteo had an interpreter with him. He understands and speaks English quite well, but you'll hear him consult with the interpreter at points, just a word or two here and there. So, here comes the interview. Enjoy. I wanted to ask you something right off because I've been trying to figure it out. At the beginning of the film, Luciano is running some sort of scam with, I guess it's called the kitchen robot,
yeah.
That large appliance there. And I was trying to figure out what's going on. He's paying older people to sign a contract to buy the thing. I'm trying to figure out if there's like a senior discount or something.
It's a scam. Yeah. Well, it was every scam is very complex to explain. That's why a scam. So when we were writing the script, we didn't want to spend too much time to explain the scam because it was not so important. It was important that to explain how the character of Luciano changed during the movie. So at the beginning he's very, you know, attached to the money, and then became a sort of saint, you know, to reach his goal. So that's the why we decide to use this scam that comes from a true story, you know. And in Naples they used to take people that have nothing to lose. In this case, you know, old people, and they make the contract for the to buy come si dice elettrodomestico,
the appliances,
and they Luciano help the old woman to pay the first three rate come si dice
installment, the first three,
and then the apparecchio, the appliance arrive, and then they stopped to pay. So they give to the old woman like €100, like $100, and they have the appliance, and they can buy and they can sell to another. So they see if they apply. It costs $1,000. They pay the first three
installments.
That maybe is $100. The first three, they give $100 to the old man, old lady, and then they have $800. They sell for $500, so they can make. This is they do for with the many different, like for with television, with. I mean, this is something that happened in the real story, I mean, so I thought it was interesting to. And as I said, it's a true story, but I mean, we wanted to make a movie, you know, like a black fairy tale. So it was a movie about a family or a guy that tried to, you know, to reach his artificial, you know, paradise.
You, as you say, you're making a black fairy tale here, which is a big jump from your previous film, Gomorrah. What made you decide to go in this direction?
Yeah, well, Gomorrah, to me, is also a black fairy tale in a way, and I think it's not so far from reality. I mean, also Gomorrah was a movie about system. It was crime system, and the character in Gomorrah were victim of this crime system. So we decide to tell the story from the bottom, no? From the slave of the crime system. And also reality, it's a movie about show business system that is very dangerous too, and the actors are victim of the show business in a way. But I would say also that reality, it's a movie about capitalism and about faith. I mean, the dramatic things of this story is that everybody in his family too, like the neighbor also, they try to escape from the everyday life to reach some, you know, some artificial paradise, like I said before. But the sad thing is that they feel like if they don't have enough, they want always something more, you know, something more. And that is something that I think it's part of our society, and something that is connected to everybody, you know, this the seduction of the society. And so I tried to tell this story, trying to be very close to Luciano, to understand him without judging, you know, and trying to follow him during this journey. And sometimes the movie, it's more close to the comedy, and other moment in the movie, especially the second part, it became dark and dark and dark, because there is the second part when Luciano starts to lose himself. That it's very, I mean, and also that aspect of the movie, I think it's very, to me, it's I think it's very modern in a way, because he starts to build, to create a new character to reach his goal. And that reminds me a sort of Pirandello story. So he find he invent a character that can be more successful for reach the, you know, the goal. And so he start to lose himself, and that's the beginning of the tragedy, of him tragedy. But I think the movie, it's a movie about a sort of contagion. There is a contamination. It's a society that is contaminated, because it doesn't start from Luciano. It starts from the daughter, it starts from the family, it from the neighbor. So it's, yeah. We all live in this society, and I think it would be hypocrite from me to make a judge about that, because I'm very weak from the seduction of this society where I live. So I don't feel like I can. So we try to tell this story with humanity, and sometimes having fun, sometimes telling this story, trying to make also an entertaining movie in a way. My reference was the Italian cinema of the 60s, like the De Sica's movie from Eduardo De Filippo, earlier Fellini's movie. Well, many great director. So that was where my reference for this movie.
I think there's a particularly Fellini-esque feel to the film when he goes for the audition in, and I shall get the studio's name wrong, which, given my background, I should not, Cinecittà?
Yeah, it's Cinecittà, yes.
Cinecittà. I did. I'm more erudite than I thought. I'm very good.
Yeah.
Okay. When he visits Cinecittà, you know, there is sort of the sense, and you sort of photograph it as if it's a studio out of time, as if it's still in the 60s in some ways. Was that deliberate?
Where?
Cinecittà.
Yeah. It's well, Cinecittà, it's a studios that it's now, I think it's already 30 years that changed a little, and so very rarely they come to shoot movie there, but most of the production are from television. So I remain faithful to the real place, because the Big Brother and the casting of the Big Brother and the house of the Big Brother is inside of Cinecittà. So I thought it could be better to remain faithful to this place, and of course to me it's sad, you know, because, you know, mm-hmm. I grew up watching the movie of Fellini and in the famous Studio 5 that was the studio of Fellini, and it's sad that now there are most of the studios are for a television program. And I remember it was fun when I was shooting the audition, the scene of the audition, that the queue starts from outside, you know, mm-hmm. and from outside of Cinecittà. And I remember during that day a lot of car used to stop to ask me and to ask to the people of the troupe when will be finished the audition, because they wanted to come to the audition. But other car used to insult me, because they said that we were rovinando, how do you say?
We were ruining.
Ruining the great Cinecittà studios with this fuck, you know, brother, Big Brother program, you know. They thought I was from the Big Brother, you know. So they were sharing, you know, in two. And that's the contradiction of my count, and not just my count, I think.
Just in general, it would happen here
yeah,
too.
Yeah, of course.
I wanted to ask you. Well, we've got to talk about your Luciano Aniello Arena,
yeah.
Because, well, tell me about his casting. Explain his.
Yeah, he's an actor that play in this company a prisoner called La Fortezza. And I was a big fan of this company, and so I saw many times him in playing theater. So I decided to cast him for the main role, and we worked together, having great time. He, of course, he had to go back in the night to jail during the shooting. But I know that we work together in a perfect understanding each other very well. I used to work in a way that is very close to the way how Armando Punzo, the director of the company of theater, used to work with him. So he was very generous and I think he made a performance that is very unique in a way, because he combined his talent as an actor to the fact that he acted in the movie after, you know, he stayed for 20 years in jail. So when he was discovering, like in The Journey of Luciano, he was discovering a world, and so he acted with the eyes. You see a light in his eyes that is something that is connected, I think, to the emotion of discover something new after a long time. And it's always for me a marriage between person and character when with the actor that work with me, and I hope to have the chance to work with him again.
He's serving a life sentence, isn't he? Or,
sorry?
He is serving a life sentence, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, yeah. But the life sentence in Italy, it's 28. Mm. So he's already 21. Okay. And probably, I think, in 2 or 3 years will be completely free.
That's cool. But what were the logistics in working with him, given that what were the difficulties, given the logistics of having to get him back to jail in the
evening? Yeah, well, we gave the program to the police, the program of our shooting, so the police used to come to check where was the Agnello. And then we, of course, we couldn't change location, but we never had problem with the, with the police. I mean, and so he's a, I think I choose him because he was an actor, not because he was a prisoner. And I'm very happy that I could give to him this chance, because he started since 13 years ago, he started acting. So he learned a job, and it's an important opportunity for the state to show how a prisoner can go back in the society with the work. So in this case, acting. So I think, of course, after he paid his debt with the justice, but I think it's very important to, come si dice, riabilitare, no?
Rehabilitation
of a man in the society.
I wanted to ask you about the end of the film, but I want to talk about it in a way that doesn't reveal actually what happens at the end of the film, because I want the audience to find that for himself. But I did want to ask you about the fact that, from what we see in the film, Luciano is not perceived at the end of the film by anybody, and I wanted...
What does he mean, perceived?
Percepito.
Okay.
I wanted to find out if you wanted to create an ambiguity in the ending, whether we were actually seeing reality, if you will, or Luciano's own mind, Luciano's own fantasy.
Yeah, well, I at the end he's not. I mean, it's all the movie move on a subtle line between, you know, realism, but at the same time dimension of surreal, you know, like a dream. Since the beginning, I declare that this could be all our dreams. No, or a nightmare, it depends by moment. And at the end, he to me is all real, but But also it's a sort of science fiction ending, and so it became metaphysic in a way, no? Abstract. And that's what I like most, when the ending are open and you can think, and you can think about it and give your, you know, thought about, your personal thought about it.
Matteo, thank you very much for
talking.
Thank
you. It's nice to talk.
Reality opens in New York on March 15th, Los Angeles a week after that, Boston and Chicago the week following. Then it'll be getting to other cities through May. San Francisco is there, Austin is there, lots of others too. You can see the trailer at chronicrift.com, and the link to the official website will be there too. And we're getting this show up early because I'm going to be at Lunacon this weekend in Rybrook, New York. Hope to see you. So there won't be a show this Sunday. But the Sunday following, March 24th, we'll have the previously announced interview with Siddiqui Konde and Alan Govener about the new documentary, You Don't Need Feet to Dance. And it's a great interview, too. So thanks for listening. See you at the con if you're there. And have fun. This has been a production of Upstart Company NYC, copyright 2013, Dan Persons, all rights reserved, no unauthorized duplication permitted.